Would you like to hear the voice of God more clearly? To be able to understand when He speaks to you? To be able to hear Him in the still, small voice? Well, you can every day. Stay tuned to find out more.
Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. My name is Ashley Terades and this is my wife Carly, and we're so glad you've joined us today in the lounge. We've got an exciting program for you. We're talking about hearing the voice of God and hearing the voice of God more clearly. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to hear God's voice even clearer. So wherever stage you are in your relationship with God, we can all hear His voice clearer. And it's so essential. Whether you're talking about spiritual gifts or just walking your everyday life, we need to hear God's voice clearly, praise God. So that's what we're going to be looking at today, some practical tips on how we can hear God's voice. Amen?
Amen. And as children, we are created in His image to be able to understand, to be able to interpret, to be able to hear God when He speaks to us. Amen?
Amen.
It's part of the normal Christian life.
It's a normal Christian life. I've got a verse here. This is our key verse, if you like. This is John 10, verse 27. This is John chapter 10, verse 27. Puts it this way. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And right from the off, I want you to know, if you're born again today, if you're a believer, you can hear God's voice. This is a promise you've got from God. You can hear His voice. And I know a lot of believers we come across, we travel the world, we're privileged enough to hold conferences and go to many, many churches. And we have a lot of believers say to us, "I just can't hear God's voice. I can't hear His voice clearly, or I don't feel like I can hear God's voice." The truth is, you can hear God's voice. And you need to start from that position of, I can hear God's voice clearly, instead of, I'm struggling or I can't hear God's voice. That's a negative confession. Let's start with a positive confession that we can hear God's voice. Amen.
In fact, we were created to respond to the voice of God.
Amen. That's right. That's how we're designed
to. It's in our spiritual DNA.
That's what we're designed to do, praise God. So that's our key verse, right? And really hearing God's voice, even in small things it's important, but it can be life or death. I remember one time I was driving along in my truck and I'm just driving down it was a divided highway, and there was a hitchhiker on the side of the road. And he was dressed up. You could see he'd probably had a hard time. He looked like he might have been homeless or whatever, but he was hitchhiking. And as I was driving towards him, I saw him in the distance, and I felt the Holy Spirit, that still small voice. I heard God's voice, and God's voice said to me, "Pick him up, pick up that hitchhiker, pick up that hitchhiker."
That's quite a tongue twister.
That's a tongue twister. "Stop and give that hitchhiker a ride." Mm-hmm. And I was like, no way. I was like, that's just me. No way. I was like, "I can't hear you, Lord." I didn't want to, in the flesh, in the natural, I didn't want to. So I kept driving, and the closer I got to him, the louder the voice got. "Pick him up, pick him up." And in the end, I ignored it. I drove past him. And even once I drove past him, then it got really loud. It's almost like the Holy Spirit shouted at me, "Pick him up." So I thought, oh man. So I had to turn around. I drove back past him and then turned around again and finally stopped and picked him up. He got in my truck and he said, "Thank you so much for giving me a ride." And he said, the first thing he said was, "So what do you do for a living? What do you do?" I said, "I'm actually a minister. I'm a minister of the gospel." And he looked at me and said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "No." He said, "Just 2 minutes ago," he said, "I prayed and I said, God, send someone to help me. I need one of your workers to help me."
And he sent you.
And so he got in my truck. Now we're driving down the road and we spent, I don't know, about 20 minutes together. And I ministered to this guy. Turns out he was born again years and years ago, but he rededicated his life to the Lord. I led him in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He received his prayer language. It was a powerful time of ministry. Mm-hmm. Now, when I dropped him off, he got out of my truck and he shut the door. And then he quickly opened the door again. He said, "I want to tell you one thing, sir." He said, "I want you to know," he said, "this was going to be my last night." He said, "I was going to end it tonight." He said, because he'd been through so many hard times.
Wow.
So many bad things had happened to him. He said, "This is going to be my last night." He said, "And I prayed today. And I said, God, if you love me, then you're going to have to show me." He said, and "spending time with you has just encouraged me." He said, "I feel like a new man now." And he was so encouraged. He started off downbeaten, thinking about committing suicide. And by the end of our conversation, he was encouraged and he was ready to go at it again. My point being this, me hearing the voice of God was a life or death situation. I know you've had similar things where God's warned you about things, but you don't know how many times God's trying to speak to us and have us help other people, or maybe it's warn us about something to come. But God's voice, hearing God's voice clearly, could really be life or death for us and for others. So it's that important, as well as small things as well. It's not just the big things. God wants to communicate with us and hear His voice in the small things
Part of having a relationship with the Lord is everyday conversation. Now, sometimes our relationship with the Lord boils down to just crisis moments. And God can be there for those. Amen. He can can be there in the middle of a crisis. But more than that, having a life-giving relationship with our Father means having everyday normal conversations as well, right? Amen. If the only time I ever, you know, spoke to Ashley was when I was in the middle of a crisis and I needed something, that's going to be a kind of sorry relationship.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes our relationship with God, we just go to Him in those moments of absolute need, in those moments of crisis. But there's a relationship that we can develop with the Lord that is much more intimate than that. And that's hearing His voice in our everyday situations.
Amen.
You know, I like to call it, you know, small talk with Jesus,
yeah.
Right? But I remember one time I was at home. We lived on a farmhouse in England, and I was just baking a pie. And everyone was out for the day.
Was it a savory one or a fruit one?
Man, I can't remember.
In this farm, Carl used to pick the what were they? What fruit was that? The fruit,
green
gauge fruit off the trees. All different fruits we used to have in this farm, and she used to make fruit pies. Man, you're making me hungry. They
oh
were good.
Goodness.
And
anyway,
chicken pies.
Anyway, so oh, I made that. I made this pie, and
yeah,
I
I'm
just.
Hungry.
It's not even lunchtime yet.
Pies, good pies.
I'd just taken out the oven and set it on top of the stove to cool down, and I went upstairs to check some emails, I think, on the computer. And we had three farm cats. We had mice on the farm. We had cats to
cats.
Take care of the mice. And they were useless, mouses,
actually. I didn't want one cat.
And we ended up with three cats.
They said, if you're going to get one cat, because we was on a farm, you need a cat to keep the mice down. I said, okay. So they went to get one cat. They said, if you're going to have one cat, you've got to have two cats, because two cats, they'll play with each other and they're less work. And then we had three kids at the time. They're all little. So they said, if you're going to get two cats, you might as well get three cats, one for each of the children. So the man who didn't want any cats turned up back home with three cats.
I don't know what a collection of cats is called, but, you know.
A gaggle of cats.
We had a herd of cats. Anyway. So we had three cats, and they're useless because they'd never actually catch the real mice. In fact, they just bring them in and let them go in the house, which defeated the whole purpose.
Once they put a rabbit in the house, I'm watching TV and I thought I'm going crazy. I see in the corner of my eye a rabbit run through the living room, and I'm like, it must be very late. I must be eating too much cheese pizza or something. And then I saw it again, a rabbit run through my living room. And what it was, the cat caught a rabbit, brought it into the house.
Just to play with it.
It wasn't quite dead, so it was running around the house. Anyway.
Anyway,
I'm getting right off. I'm going down a rabbit trail. Dulunch. Anyway,
so we reel you back in. So as I'm sitting there on my computer, the cats would like to sit around me and watch me move the electronic mouse. They found that way more entertaining. And see the little arrow, the little cursor move across the screen.
Yeah.
So as I'm doing that, I'd been practicing up until this point, just hearing the voice of God in my quiet times with Him, just in the little, in the still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm sitting there checking my emails, I hear what I believe to be the voice of God on the inside of me saying, "The cat is eating your pie." I thought, the cat's not eating my pie. I've got three cats, then they're all here. The cat is not eating my pie. So I carry on doing my emails, but this voice gets louder and louder on the inside of me. And I nearly miss it because, you know, that voice sounded kind of like me,
mm-hmm.
right? But it was a still small voice of God speaking to me. And in the end, curiosity got the better of me.
So curiosity killed the cat?
Well, not quite, but almost after I found out what the cat did. So I just decided, this is crazy. Look, I'm looking here and I'm seeing three cats and there's no cat eating my pie. All my cats are present and accounted for. But I decided to go downstairs and just check on my pie, right?
The Lord was concerned about your pie.
Well,
this is one of the things we think. The Lord is, He's the creator of the universe. He wouldn't be concerned about pie. The Lord is concerned with small details. But
he's
so awesome. The Lord is so awesome. Yes, He's the creator of the universe, but He's also concerned about the small things in our life.
Right?
I feel like sometimes we miss it because we don't get the Lord involved in the small things in our life.
Well, definitely. So I went down into the kitchen, and sure enough, there is a cat on the countertop eating my pie.
The fourth cat.
A fourth cat came in through the cat flap.
This is a stray cat.
A stray cat, and had come into the kitchen. My pie was that good, right?
So if you'd listened to the Lord in the first place, it would have saved the pie.
Well, as I went down to the kitchen and saw this cat eating my pie, I'm like, what is happening? And then I hear the Lord say, I told you.
Holy Spirit, I told you so.
If
you'd listened to me in the first place, you could have saved your pie. So the fourth cat was, in fact, Chisholm. We named him. He decided to live with us as well. So we ended up with four cats. And he was a male cat, and the other three were female.
He wasn't real popular.
No, he wasn't
real popular. In the house of female cats.
He wasn't real popular. But anyway, four cats. So the Holy Spirit was warning you about your pie. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but you know, there was a deeper reason for that I didn't know at the time. It wasn't just about the cat eating my pie, but it was about spending time with the Lord and developing that intimate relationship, because it's in those times of intimacy that we hear from God about the more important things in our lives mm-hmm. other than just pie.
Amen.
And a few days later, I was driving our children to school down there. We lived in a rural area. area. So we were driving down the country lane, and these are national speed limit, single lane
roads. I'm going to explain this to our American
60 mile an hour roads.
So even though we live in America now, we need to explain this. In England, where we lived, there was their farm lanes, and they're actually single carriageways, and they've got tall hedgerows to either side. And the national speed limit is 60 miles an hour. So people buzz around these little farm roads doing 60 miles an hour, mm-hmm. sometimes even more.
But you can go both ways on them.
Blind corners, yeah. And then you have to wait. If someone's coming the other way, you have to move over, like, almost into the bush.
Yeah,
and
they have, like, passing places.
Passing places. But sometimes, I mean, you'll come around a corner and there'll be someone head-on at 60 miles an hour. So you have to, like, slow down the corners. And it's tough. It's quite a rush.
It's kind of primitive, really. But anyway,
so
we're driving. I'm driving the three children to school, that morning, and going quite fast on this road. And all of a sudden, I hear the Holy Spirit on the inside of me say, "Brake!" really loudly. And I mean, I didn't fast and pray. I didn't phone a friend. You know, I didn't ask for confirmation. I just slammed my foot on the brake. And right in front of me, a tractor came through the hedgerow and crossed right. I mean, we would have had a head-on collision at 60 mile an hour. I mean, that was probably a potentially fatal accident there. And that was avoided because I had practiced listening to the voice of God in the still small quiet times.
So the Lord was warning you about that. Reminds me of the time when the pastor was driving around a windy road and he had his window down and the car came the other way and it was one of his congregants.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd had some...
Is this a joke?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm here now, though. It's too late.
This is a dad joke.
And he'd been very upset with this man, and they'd had a falling out, and the guy was coming the other way. And as they passed each other on the corner quite closely, they both had their windows down, and the guy shouted out to the pastor. He went, "Pig!" And he went, "You..." The pastor just lost it. I mean, he'd been holding it together for years, but that was it. It was too much. He shouted back at me, "You jerk!" And had a go at him like that. Can you say that on TV?
I don't know. You just did.
I have to edit that out. Anyway.
They might have to put the beeps up for you.
Anyway, whatever it was, he said some nasty word. He called this man nasty
word.
It's
too late now. It's out there.
Anyway, as they passed their cars, the pastor went round the corner and hit the pig in the road. The guy was just warning him about the pig. He wasn't calling him a pig.
Yeah.
He was just saying, uh-huh. "Round the corner, there's a pig. Be careful."
It's still not funny.
The pastor thought he was calling him a pig.
I understand.
Shouted back at him.
It's just not funny.
Anyway, so hearing the voice of God is what we're talking about here today.
Stick
we're
to
talking
preaching.
About John 10:27. If you're a believer, you can hear the voice of God. And
he has better jokes than Ashley.
Yeah, he does have better jokes. We're going to look at different ways we can hear the voice of God. That's one of the first things we're going to look at. And God speaks to us in lots of different ways. And actually, he'll speak to us in different ways, depending on our personality, depending mm-hmm. on the situation and things like that. And what we want to go through, we want to make this teaching practical. We're going to cover a few episodes of this. So we want to start off with the different ways God speaks to us. And this is really going to help you. The first thing I've got here, the first way God speaks to us is by his word, by the word of God. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably the most important thing we're going to cover. And really, the word of God is one of the main ways you're going to hear from God.
Right.
In fact, I heard a prophet friend of mine, someone came up to me and said, give me a word. I want, tell me what God's saying right now. Tell me what God's saying right now. And he pulled out his Bible and gave it to me and said, there's thousands of words in there. But it really is the main way God's going to speak to us is by his word. And a lot of the times, I've been to churches, they said, well, that's type of old news. We want, like, the revelation
word of God. We want something a little bit more exciting.
But this is the living word. The word
exactly.
of God is the living word of God. And it's amazing how even the same verse that you've read 100 times, God can make it jump off the page. And I'm sure if you're a believer, most of you watching could tell me testimonies about how when you've read the word, all of a sudden a verse has popped out, a passage has jumped out at you, and it's spoken to you. God's spoken to you directly. The word of God is alive. It's a living word, and it will jump out at you and speak to you. So the word of God is, but you have to read it to be able to hear from it. And, it's important that we read the word.
Someone was asking me this question the other day, how do I study the Bible? And I really studied the Bible, actually, as part of my relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So when I get my Bible out in the morning, I start by asking the Lord, where should I begin in the Scriptures? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a daily reading plan. Some people really like that, where they have a set formula that they follow.
Or they have like a devotional. Every day with Jesus.
And that's fine.
Then every other day with Jesus.
Right.
Then about once
Depending
a week.
On how committed
about
you are.
Once a week with Jesus. About once a month
10
with Jesus.
10 minutes with Jesus.
Then, I've got to catch up 50 with Jesus just to keep on track.
Oh, my goodness.
One of those devotionals.
Oh, then you get behind. The problem with the daily reading plans is
you get behind.
You feel like you've got to, like, cram 50 chapters into one day to get back on track. Otherwise, you're going to get into condemnation.
And then you read so fast, you're not even paying attention.
Right.
That's not a great way of doing it.
That's not good.
Reading the Bible, our pastor reads the Bible every year. He just reads through it,
about
three or four chapters.
Yeah.
ministers a day.
And that's
whatever
fine.
You want to do.
Whatever ministers to you and you get revelation from, that's fine. But I like, personally, I like to start out my day and I'm just like, Lord, where do I need to begin in this book? Everything is good. Everything is for my benefit. But where do you want to start speaking to me?
Do you do the old flicking?
You know, I try.
That's pretty dangerous.
And the problem is, I did this when I was younger, and I'd open it to Leviticus, things to do with mold.
You don't read about mold first thing in the morning.
And, you know, not first thing in the morning.
Maybe the Lord was speaking to you.
Maybe I was just being unspiritual and he could have spoken to me about mold.
I have noticed we've got a little tiny patch growing in the corner of the bathroom. I've got to fix that.
Anyway, so when I'm reading the word, I really like to ask the Lord where to start. And sometimes he'll give me a specific verse to start in. Mm-hmm. Or other times he's like, read the book of Acts, or, you know, be a whole book that he gives me, or a passage that he gives me. But for me, that's not just about reading the word. That's an opportunity to exercise hearing him. When I ask him a direct question, where should I start? And I just sit and I listen and I wait for the response. It's an exercise in hearing as well.
See, this is where we're different, and this is why I want to include everyone in this, because I'm very different. This is me. When I say, God, speak to me, do you know what I hear?
Crickets,
nothing. I mean, silence. In fact, there's been times when we've had major decisions to make. One of them, I'm thinking, in 2006, we had to decide, was we going to give up our business? Was we going to move to the other end of the country? Was we going to change our children's school, move house and go to Bible school? That was in 2006. Mm-hmm. And Carly said to me, go and listen to God. Go and spend a day. And I knew Carly was serious because I was halfway through remodeling our house. And she said, stop remodeling the house and go and spend a day with the Lord.
Go sit on the beach. And
I drove out to the beach and I went out in the Lord. I said, Lord, speak to me. Should I go to Bible college? Should I go to Bible college? Speak to me. I'm here, Lord. I'm listening. And guess what I heard? Seagulls, nothing. Crickets, nothing. So we're different. Carly can ask God, speak to me, and you hear him right away. When I ask God to speak to me, I don't hear him like that. I hear God through the word. Well, there's lots of different ways we hear God. I'm going to show you. But for me, I hear him through the word. I hear him like later on in the day, I'll be doing something and I'll have an impression, or I'll have a picture, or I'll have a hunch or something like that. Desires. We're going to cover some of those. I'm getting ahead. But anyway, I just want people to know, because some people think, well, Carly, you know, she just sits there and God speaks to her. I've tried sitting there and I hear nothing. So God speaks to us in different ways. I don't listen enough. I speak too much. That's what it is. My wife says I don't listen to her
or something like that.
I can't remember now. Something like that. So anyway, what'd you say? But anyway, God speaks to you like that. For me, it's a little bit different. So the word of God is what we're talking about. The word is alive. It's living. Now, sometimes you're going to read the word and it doesn't seem like it's living. It's just going to be like a book. That's fine. Be faithful. Read the word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, the word became flesh. Jesus is the word of God. The word of God is living. It's not like any other book. And I'm all into, you can read other people's books and biographies and all these things. That's fine. But that
people's
does not replace, commentaries. It doesn't replace the word of God. The word of God should be the authority in your life. The word of God should be your go-to all the time. And it's amazing how God will give us a word for something specific, but very particular from the word of God. And it's amazing how, even though it was, most of it was written 2,000-3,000 years ago, he can tell us something specific for today through the Word of God. It's the most up-to-date book.
I find, actually, the Word of God is a great benchmark for testing. Like, sometimes we feel like maybe God is speaking to us about something, but we're not 100% sure. It could be God. It might just be, we've eaten too much cheese. You know, it's just an idea that's kind of popped into our head. You know, I've gone to God in those times and I've asked him to show me in the word, to bring confirmation in the word. Because when God speaks to us, he'll always confirm his word. In fact, actually, just last night, I had a dream last night and the Lord spoke a scripture to me in my dream.
You haven't told me about this?
Didn't I? Oh, well, anyway.
You had a dream? I did. Last night?
It's pretty cool. Last night.
Tell me more.
Fresh revelation right here, right?
Is that what you was fidgeting and woke me up or not?
Probably. I was kind of excited.
Okay.
So, anyway, he spoke to me, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. So what I did when I woke up in the morning was I got my Bible out and this is what it says. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you did not know. Oof. I mean, that's powerful,
that's a good
right?
word.
God's saying, call
Fresh
to me, talk to me. I want to have a relationship with you, because when you're in relationship with me, I'm going to answer you and I'm going to show you things that you didn't know.
That's awesome. Praise God. We love the
right
word.
There.
The word is somewhere we want to be camping out. And nowadays, we've got no excuse, with technology. I'm sounding old, right, with technology. But we can have, most of us have smartphones. We can have the Bible right there with tablets and things like that. I mean, when we're waiting somewhere, in line or something. There's no reason why you can't be reading the Bible. There's no reason why you can't be in the Word wherever you are. There's Audible. I've got the Audible Bible, the complete Bible on audio. Sometimes I listen to it and I'm on an airplane or when I'm driving and things like that.
You even have the Bible on your watch, don't you?
I have, yeah. There's a Bible app on my watch, so I can even read the Bible on my watch. A little bit. I mean, you wouldn't want to do read a whole book, but you can have verses come up on there. But nowadays with technology, in fact, it talks about write them on the tablet.
That's
of your heart.
See,
bind them on
God
the tablet. Bind them to your wrist. I think it says bind them to your wrist. And then Google Glasses is probably going to be put them before your eyes. See, I mean, it's the Bible. So anyway, we've got no excuse to keep the Word of God in front of us. And that's why the Hebrews said, keep the Word of God in front of you wherever you go. In fact, this is a great verse. I love this. This is Proverbs 6:22. Proverbs 6, verse 22 puts it this way. Talking about the Word of God, it says, when you roam, they will lead you. So the Word of God will lead us. It says, when you sleep, they will keep you. It's like you slept and the Word gave you word, spoke to you. When you sleep, they'll keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. The Word of God will speak with us. It will commune with us. It's Jesus. It's a living Word. It will speak to us. So the Word of God will speak to us, and it's the best authority on anything is the Word of God. In fact, I would ask you, if you've got something you're not sure about, if you've got a decision to make, ask God for a word. Say to God, show me in the Scriptures a word. And even if it's something specific now, He will pull out a Scripture. He will show you something and confirm it with His Word. So the Word of God is the most clear, what's the right word? Reliable way that God speaks to us is through His Word, through the Word of God. And as Carly said, He will never contradict His Word. We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit because we're also going to spend some time helping you to decipher between God's voice, your own voice, and the devil. And that's something we need to work out. You know, when is it us? When is it the devil and when is it God? When is it just our flesh or our soul? When is it the devil and when is it God speaking to us? We need to discern those things.
Right.
And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God can decipher those things and separate those things and show you what's you and what's the devil. Because I've convinced myself it's God speaking to me before now. I've had a few times where God said this and it hasn't been. And when I've gone to the Word, God's shown me that it's not that case. So the Word of God also talks about the Word being a lamp to our feet. I love that. It's a lamp to our feet. The Word is like our lamp. And if we're trying to walk somewhere, we can hold a lamp up and it will illuminate our path. We call them torches in England, but I guess you call them flashlights here in America.
Man, so that can get you into a pickle pretty quickly.
A flashlight, yeah, a flashlight is what they say here. I said to one of my American friends, I gave my kids a torch each and
they
I told them.
They thought we'd given them like a burning stick or something.
And walk on the pavement.
I know, they said,
you told your kids to walk in the middle of the road with a burning stick, fire, and they're like 4 years old. I said, no, walk on the sidewalk with a flashlight. So we can interpret. We're learning how to speak American. So,
and we need to learn how to listen carefully.
We're learning how to speak American. Right. So the Word of God is your lamp to your feet. So if you feel like you're stumbling around in the dark, you don't know what direction to take, you don't know which way to go, you need to get into the Word of God. And just like it said there in that proverb I read, it will lead you. The Word of God will lead us. It's a lamp to our feet. The Word of God is going to sustain us. It's going to lead us. It's going to give us what we need. It's going to encourage us. So I'd encourage you, when you want to hear God's voice, go to the Word of God first. That's the best place. And however busy you are, every one of us should be spending a daily time in the Word. This is no condemnation. This is nothing to do with how God sees you. God loves you. He's made His mind up. When I first got born again, I was very legalistic. I didn't understand grace. I didn't understand that my salvation was a free gift. And I thought I had to earn God's approval. So I would read the Word out of law. I've got to read the Word. I've got to spend time in prayer. In fact,
what happens if you missed it?
Well, you missed it, then you're not quite as worthy as you was when you had did it. You know, it's all about you. And that's not the case. So I don't want anyone to be under condemnation or anyone feel like they're under obligation to do this. We just want you to enhance your relationship with God. God's already made up His mind about you. But if you get in the Word daily and spend time with Him daily, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, we can all find that time, then you're going to be able to hear His voice clearer and you're going to get to know Him. The Bible is really, it's God's story, it's God's character, it's who He is. And as we read that Word, we're going to understand more and more about God.
Right. So I believe that God is speaking to us all the time in many different ways, whether that's in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, whether that's telling us the future, that's warning us about things to come, that's helping us to make good decisions. He can speak to us through different people. He can speak to us through the Scripture, through dreams and visions, all the different ways that God can speak to us. He's speaking to us all the time. But oftentimes, I think we miss listening, we miss hearing Him because we aren't listening to Him.
Mm.
And so what we're talking about here is developing some healthy habits that'll benefit you in your relationship with the Lord. And we want to be able to hear God. We know that God's desire is for us to be led by His voice.
Amen. So, you know, God speaks to us in many different ways. And sometimes it depends on the circumstance. Sometimes it depends on our personality. God's so gracious that He speaks to us in our voice, the ways we hear.
Mm-hmm.
And, depends on what we're into. God will actually pique our interest with things that we're interested in and speak to us in certain ways.
He'll do anything to get our attention.
He'll do anything to get our attention. But I'm saying we've got friends that, I've got friends that are into certain hobbies and stuff, and God will speak mm-hmm. to them through them things.
Right.
And whatever, like for me, He'll speak to me sometimes through car illustrations and things like that.
Yeah, He doesn't speak to me that way.
He doesn't speak to mm-hmm. you like that, right? But it depends. So it depends.
I think it's because you're carnal.
I'm carnal. I like cars. That's a dad joke right there.
Totally
so anyway,
is.
So last time we looked at how God speaks to us through His word. And the Word of God is the most clear way you can hear His voice. And we say, mm-hmm. Never neglect spending time in the Word of God. You know, that Jesus, the Word became flesh, that's Jesus. And Jesus is God's Word. The Bible is the living Word of God. It's living, mm-hmm. it's breathing, it's alive. It's the most relevant book you'll ever read. It's much more than a book. And, we spend time in the Bible every day. And nowadays with technology, we talked about, there's no excuse why we can't be in the Word every day. Even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, there's no excuse for it. It's not a legalistic thing we have to do, but it's a way we're going to get to know God better.
It's part of a healthy relationship.
It's part of our relationship. It's how we get to know God. People say, I want to know God more. I want to know God more. We'll read His Word because He's put Himself in the Bible. It's His living Word. And as we read the Bible, we're going to get to know God more. We're going to get to know His MO. We're going to get to know His character and what He does and doesn't do. And so reading the Word is, and I could tell you so many testimonies about how the Lord has spoken to me directly through His Word. His Word has spoken to me. A scripture that I've read 100 times will jump out mm-hmm. and speak to me about a certain situation. And I'm sure most of you watching have had similar incidences where you've read the Bible and a verse has jumped off the page. And sometimes we'll read the Bible for days and nothing. And then all of a sudden, bam, something will jump out. Something will come alive to us. And that's God's living Word. So God speaks to us through His Word, for sure. That's one of the main ways He speaks to us.
Right. Actually, it says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Mm. It says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. We talked about how the Word of God is a great benchmark for judging a word. If maybe somebody gives us a word of prophecy, or they give us a word saying, I feel like the Lord is saying, or maybe it's one of our own thoughts that comes to us and we feel like it's God speaking to us. We can take the Word of God and use it as a benchmark, as a ruler, if you like, by which to judge that word. It says quite clearly here, the Word of God is living and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God will speak to us through His Word as part of our relationship. Part of hearing from God is giving us, sometimes He'll give us scriptures to read, or He'll give us a passage or a book, or, just one phrase that's in His Word of God. He'll use His Word to confirm His thoughts to you, His intentions to you, His directions to you. The Word of God, it says, is a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen, it really is. Mm-hmm. And, it separates, I'm reading this in the New King James. Carly was using the modern English version. In the New King James, it says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even between the division of soul and spirit. And, this is one way we can tell when a word is from God and when a word is from us. Sometimes, we're one spirit of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we are one spirit with God. So therefore, when God speaks to us, sometimes it sounds like us.
Right.
And sometimes we have a hard time discerning when it's us and when it's God. And it says the Word of God will separate spirit from soul. It will separate your spirit part of you. Mm-hmm. You're a three-part being. You're a spirit, you're a soul, and you have a body. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. Your spirit is your God part, if you like. When you got born again, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5 says that's your spirit part. You got born again and your spirit is just like God. It's 1 John 4, 17 says, as He is, so are we in this world. So your spirit part is just like Jesus. Your soul part, that's your mind, will and emotions. That's your soul. And that's where your character is and mm-hmm. things like that. And that's the part that sometimes can lead us astray because we'll have our own thoughts on our own emotions.
Our own opinions.
Our own opinions about things that don't line up with the Word of God. They don't line up with our spirit. And it's just our own thoughts and our own opinions. And that's where we need the Word of God. The Word of God can separate those two things and show us, no, this is just you, Ashley, or no, this is God. And it will separate those things. That's why it's so important to be in the Word.
Yep.
I read this as well last time from Proverbs 6:22. I love this verse. This is Proverbs 6:22. It says, the Word of God will, when you roam, they will lead you. So if you roam off track, the Word of God will get you back on track again.
Yep.
It says, when you sleep, they will keep you. And it says, when you awake, they will speak with you. The Word will speak with you. And I believe when we wake up, we should be in the Word and let the Word speak to us. And it doesn't have to even be a lot of quantity. It's more about quality. You know, one verse from the Word of God, you can let that speak to you. You can meditate on that verse, be thinking about that verse, and let that verse speak to you. It's powerful. It's alive. Yeah. Sharper than any two-edged sword, praise God. So we love the Word. The Word's awesome. This is from the Amplified. I'm going to read this again. This is Hebrews 4:12 in the Amplified. The Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative. Operative? Operative.
Yes, that'll do.
Operative.
Close enough.
Energizing and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it penetrates and divides the line between life, your soul, and the immortal spirit, and the joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, and exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our hearts.
Mm.
That's the Amplified. It's powerful. So that's why the Word of God is the basis for hearing God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be in the Word all the time, praise
Amen.
God. So that's number one. We've got other ways that God speaks to us here.
Mm-hmm.
So the second thing we want to talk about today is how God can speak to us through an audible voice. God's audible voice, that is a way God can speak to us. Now, it's rare. And it's, you know, it doesn't happen that often, but we can often have God speak audibly. And in the Bible, there's lots of examples where God spoke audibly. One example I'm thinking of is in John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus was on the cross, and it says here that he spoke, and they actually said they thought it was just thunder coming down. They didn't even think it was God speaking, because they couldn't understand. It sounded like, even though it was God's audible voice, the people around there said, "Oh, it's just thunder." So unless you're a believer, you're not going to be able to hear it, I don't think. But
I think, you know, God speaks to us in many different ways. And in my experience, it's either people that are just on the verge of getting born again or are really very new to the faith that have had these audible voice of God type experiences. Because God has a better, a more reliable way of talking to us once we're in relationship with him. You know, he can talk to us through a still small voice, our inner witness on the inside of us. He can talk to us through the Word of God. But you know, when we're brand new to the faith, or we don't know him at all, he doesn't have those opportunities.
Right.
You know, we're not listening. We're not tuned in yet.
Right.
So the audible voice of God, I'm thinking Saul on the road to Damascus.
Yep,
it was heard the audible voice of God, and he repented and became Christian.
Eli and Samuel, God spoke directly to Eli. And, or is the other way around? No, God spoke directly to Samuel and then Eli. I think it's that way around. I'm going to have to check my Bible now to check that out. But anyway, God spoke audibly there. When I was 16 and I wasn't a believer, you know, my mum got born again before me. She read a book and read the prayer at the back of the book and got born again just a couple of years before I did. And I actually went the other way. I rebelled. I was like, I don't want anything to do with this God and this Jesus. And I'd rip the bumper stickers.
Your mum had gone crazy.
Oh, yeah, I'd rip the bumper stickers off her car. I really didn't like the fact that she was into Jesus. You know, I was like, don't talk to me about Jesus, mum. And I was
against it. So you
persecuted
her then?
I persecuted my mum a bit about it. And I was dead against Jesus and about God and this, because she'd changed so much. It type of scared me. And I was only 15 at the time. And when I was 16, I started to have thinking about it, starting to think about it more and more. And one night I was asleep in my bed and I heard the audible voice of God. It just said my name. It just said Ashley. But I think it's in Revelations 14. In Revelations 14, it says, his voice was like a sound of many waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain it fully, but how I can explain it is when I heard my name spoken, when God spoke my name, Ashley, it like filled the room. It was one of these, like a synthesized voice, where it filled the room, many, many different voices. And it felt so homely. It felt like he was calling me home. I loved this voice the first time I'd heard it. And I went back to sleep again. Then it woke me up again. I went back to sleep again. It happened 4 or 5 times. And the next day I said to my mum, I said, was you calling me last night? I thought my mum was putting on some sort of voice and calling me. She said, no. And I said, well, someone kept calling my name and kept waking me up. And the same night, she'd been reading about Samuel and Eli and about how God spoke of an audible voice. And she said, that's God. God's speaking to you. Answer him. Well, I didn't wait till the next night. I knew God was real then. He had spoken to me audibly. I heard his voice. So that night, I gave my life to him. I said, Jesus, if you're real, help me. And I got born again, if you like. I gave my life to the Lord right then and there that night. But I heard the audible voice of God. Yeah. Haven't heard it since.
Yeah.
But maybe like you said, he had to get my attention. So that's how he spoke to me.
You know, Well, I say it's an audible voice because it was so loud, I was looking around to see if anyone else had heard it too. And I think sometimes the voice of God speaking to us can sound so loud, especially if you know your group of people, it's just like, surely you heard that too. But I don't know whether it is really an audible voice that you're hearing from the outside with your ears, or whether it's just really loud on the outside, or whether it's just one of those supernatural moments where it is God speaking in an audible voice, but no one else can hear it but you. It's only tuned into you. But either way, I was, you know, a teenager. I'd been born again a very short time, and I was sitting in church on a Sunday night, and I remember listening to the preacher, thinking, I've not got a clue what this man is saying.
Was it one of those churches?
Well, he was just, I was not churched.
Right.
And so I'm sure his sermon was awesome, but he was using the church language that I just didn't understand. He was using a Christianese, you know. We have our own lingo, don't we, in the church. And so coming into church, I didn't understand the scriptures. It was almost like he was speaking a completely foreign language. And on top of that, I mean, I just come from a place of real emotionally being completely broken.
Right.
And, you know, I had a very abusive childhood, and I carried that through. And all of that damage had really hurt my heart. I had a lot of fears, just a lot of terror on the inside of me, a lot of wounds, you know, a lot of emotional damage, a lot of emotional scars from those years of abuse. And as I sat in church listening to this man, and I knew that God was real, and I'd given my life to the Lord. I was a new believer, but I just had no real grounding in the Word, no real experience or understanding of church. And as I sat there in the pew, I just felt so completely and utterly alone in the middle of church, listening to this man speaking the Word of God, like, you know, like he was speaking secrets that I couldn't understand. And in the middle of that, I heard the Lord say to me so clearly that I believe it was audible, and no one's contested it yet. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But I heard the Lord say, I know and I love you.
That's cool.
And, you know, in that moment, it's like when you were saying, when we hear the Word of God, one Word of God can be like a mighty rushing wind. It can be like the voice of many waters. It didn't just mean to me that God knew me and that He loved me. It meant to me a million more things. Right. That he was there, He held my hand, He was there in all of my moments of heartache and pain and fear. All through the abuse, he was there with me. And in that moment, his word brought healing to my heart.
Wow.
You know, the Holy Spirit did in a heartbeat what counseling couldn't do in years.
Wow.
But that was the importance of hearing the voice of God when He speaks to us. And from then on, I've never heard the voice of God in the same way since then.
Wow.
But I believe that God did that for me because that was how He could get my attention.
That's good. That's good. You know, if people are watching, they, you know, most people don't hear the audible voice of God. There's something special about hearing the audible voice of God. You know, it's another level. As Carly said earlier, you know, there's a more sure word of prophecy. Hearing the audible voice of God isn't the clearest way of hearing God, isn't the best way of hearing God. There's better ways of hearing God through His word and through His spirit. But sometimes we just want to make you aware. Sometimes that's one way God speaks to us. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, there was an instance in John when the Lord spoke directly. This is in John 12. And in John 12, it says, I believe it's around 28, it says, God spoke from the heaven and they didn't believe it. They said, here, this is in John 12, verse 28. It says, a voice came from heaven, an audible voice came from heaven and said, I have both glorified and I will glorify again. Therefore, listen to this in verse 29. This is John 12, verse 29. Therefore, the people who stood by heard it. So they heard God's voice coming out of heaven, and they said it was just thunder. It must have thundered, or it's an angel. So even though they heard God's voice audibly, they were discounting it and said it's just thunder. And, you know, so sometimes we can hear the audible voice of God, we can question it, or other people might not believe it. But, you know, God can speak audibly is what we want to tell you. It's rare, but that's one way that God can speak to you. So another way God can speak to us is through people, other people. So God can use other people to speak to us. And many times I've had other people come to me now. Sometimes they might be operating in a spiritual gift. We're going to cover spiritual gifts a little later on in some programs about how God can use words of knowledge and words of wisdom and prophecy and things like that to speak to us. And sometimes it could just be someone says something and it's God speaking to us. But God can use people to speak to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, again, people have got testimonies. You've probably had people say something to you and it's been profound. It's been like, wow, that's God. God's spoken to me. And God could speak to you. And I've had it many times where people have said things to me. And like I said, sometimes they're operating in the spiritual gift, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just saying something and they don't realize how profound it is.
Yeah.
But God is using them to speak to us.
Right.
So God can definitely use people to speak to us. Now, there's a flip side to this, because God can use people to speak to us and people can speak to us. But also people can speak to us and it can be from the enemy.
Right, it so it's important to know the difference and to be able to judge that rightly.
Yeah, it's very important. You know, there's a great instance with Peter, you know, when Peter turns around to Jesus and said, you know, you don't have to go to the cross, Jesus. You know, me and the lads, we were talking.
There's an easier way.
There's a way out. And what does Jesus say? Jesus turns around and says to Peter, now he just told him, you know, your revelation of who I am, you know, I'm the Christ, and I'm going to build my church on your revelation, on this rock I'm going to build my church. So Peter must be like, yeah.
He's pretty good at the time.
You know what? This is like, you know, Jesus loves me. This is awesome. And then just a few sentences later, he turns around and says, get behind me, Satan. Calls him Satan. You can imagine. Jesus obviously didn't take the leadership approach where you're meant to praise in public and correct in private. I mean, you know, there's leadership that will tell you this. You know, you're meant to only praise in public and correct in private. But I guess this was private. This was just amongst the disciples. But Jesus turned around and corrected Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because the enemy was using Peter to speak to Jesus. Now, yeah, I want to read this because it is pretty good how Jesus, this is in Matthew. I'm taking this from Matthew's gospel. And we can read this in Matthew 16 and verse 22. Jesus has just talked to the disciples about what's going to happen to him. He said, I'm going to die on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And then in Matthew, verse 22, it says, then Peter took Jesus aside. I love this. Peter said, took Jesus aside and said, listen, he said, far be it from you, this shall ever happen to you. Far be it from you, Jesus, that you're going to have to die. It's going to be okay. We're going to look after you, whatever, you know, Peter's type of, and he told him, and this was not just Peter being, now Peter may have thought he's just being caring, but the enemy was actually using that to distract Jesus. And this is what them people were doing. You know, they thought they were just being caring. You know, most people don't know they're being used by the devil, and it's type of a hard way of saying it. So obviously be careful how you say that when people are being used by the devil. But, you know, we can say some things and we're just being flippant or we're just trying to, you know, be caring. Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, the enemy can use those words to tempt us.
Or we're just speaking from our flesh.
We're just speaking from our flesh, exactly. We're just speaking from our flesh or from our soul. And then in verse 23 then, but Jesus turned and said to him, Peter, he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And this is this, for you're an offence to me. So it's, and that word offence can also mean a stumbling block to me. If you study it out, that word offence, you could cause me to stumble here. So Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. These words could cause me to stumble. These words could get me off track. He said, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And sometimes just natural thinking, being mindful of the natural things. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So if we get mindful of natural things, then it can lead us off track and it can cause us to stumble. And our friends, when they told us, this isn't going to work out, you're going to fail, how are you going to pay the bills, how are you going to work, et cetera, they were natural, mindful things. And if we'd listened to them, it would have got us off track. We wouldn't have moved and we wouldn't have been able to do all that the Lord had called us to do. As it happened, we didn't move. It did work out. We didn't starve. We prospered. And in actual fact, we lived a better life when we moved and gave up our business and when we put God first than before. You know, we just put Matthew 6:33 into practice. We sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. Our natural needs were added to us, often supernaturally. So we was actually better off when we put God first and wasn't putting work and business first. And it's amazing how that works out. But those people, when they spoke to us, they were just giving us some natural wisdom. But it was actual fact that was the enemy speaking to us. So God can speak to us through people and the enemy can speak to us through people as well. So be aware of that. When people speak to us, we have to test it. Mm. And be aware of people coming to you and saying, God's told me this. I'm always concerned about that.
You know, in the scriptures it says, take heed how you hear.
How you hear, that's
right?
Good.
And so it's what are we listening to? Mm-hmm. You know, we need to judge the avenues that we're listening to. You know, if we're spending a lot of time listening to things, listening to voices, opinions, whether it's in the media, whether that's through friends and family, whether that's however way that comes to us. But if we're spending more time listening to other people's opinions and interpretations of the Word of God or what God is saying to us rather than relying on our own relationship with Him, we're going to be easily distracted.
That's good.
You know, and we're going to find ourselves listening. It's good that God will use other people to speak words to you, but really those words should be confirming what God has already said on the inside of your heart.
Amen. That's good.
You know, otherwise I had a, we was in a church one time, and I think this is where they were just kind of starting to dabble in the realm of spiritual gifts.
Okay.
And because the church wasn't really grounded in the Word of God to judge rightly the difference between the flesh and what God was really saying, it was very much based upon how people felt about something.
Right, feelings.
Feelings and emotions. There's nothing wrong with feelings and emotions, but the Word of God is solid.
Amen.
Amen. And so there was a guy with a New York Yankees hat on.
Right.
And someone comes up to him and says, you know, I feel the Lord is saying, you need to move to New York City. Well, the guy had never considered that before. God had never spoken to him about that before. But all of a sudden, he was about ready to pack up and jump ship and move to New York. And I'm like, whoa, hang on there a second. You need to take some time to meditate and ask the Lord for yourself. Because if God has shown somebody else something, He's going to show you.
Yeah, it's going to be confirmation.
You know, we can't make life-altering decisions on second-hand revelation.
That's good.
If it's important enough to make a decision upon, God is going to speak to you first. Amen?
That's right. I remember when I was a teenager, I had a guy come to me and said, God's told me you're going to marry this lady, and she told me, you know, he told me her name and said, that's your wife. And I didn't even find her attractive. I was like, oh no, I'm gonna marry a woman I don't even find her attractive. This is gonna be terrible. And it, you know, for weeks, I was heartbroken. I know,
teenager.
For like a 17, 18 year old guy, I was heartbroken. I was like, I'm not even gonna find my wife attractive.
That's
anyway.
That's like hormone evangelism.
It wasn't,
right there.
Yeah, but it wasn't a word from God. It was just his own opinion. He thought it'd be a good idea. And thank God, God gave me a wife that I'm very attracted to.
Oh, that's good.
Keep it PG. But anyway, God will use people to speak to us. And that verse she's looking for is Luke 8:18. It says, be careful. Jesus said in Luke 8:18, be careful how you hear.
I've got an example here in Scripture. This is in Mark 4. This is the calming of the storm. So in verse 35, it says, that same day when evening came, he said, this is Jesus, he came to them and said, let us go across to the other side. So Jesus is getting in the boat with the disciples and he's told them, he's given them a direction, he's given them instructions, says, we're going to go across the other side of the lake. When they had sent the crowd away, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were also other boats with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves splashed into the boat so that it was now filling the boat. He was in the stern asleep on the pillow. They woke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they marveled, you know, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? You know, in some translations it says, Jesus' response is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Jesus was in the boat with them. You know, he'd already given them the instruction to go to the other side. They had a word from God, if you like, to go do something. But, you know, when they got out on the lake, it wasn't smooth sailing.
Right.
Even though they had a word from God to go to the other side, there was a storm that arose on that lake. And, it brought fear. It looked really bad. They thought they were going to die because they had forgotten who was with them in the boat. Jesus wasn't going to sink.
The circumstances looked like it was going to stop them. The circumstances,
it looked overwhelming.
So they'd listened to the circumstances. They could have thought, this isn't going to work.
Well, and on the face of it, the circumstances looked pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, circumstances come against us sometimes to distract us from fulfilling what God has sent us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Another example of this is when the children of Israel were sent into the promised land, there were giants in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God knew that there were going to be giants in the land, but he said, I've given you the land anyway. He knew that the storm was going to arise on the lake, but he told them, let's go across to the other side.
Now, God didn't send the storm?
He didn't, but he wasn't surprised by it either.
Right.
So circumstances sometimes come against us. And this is contrary to, you know, some of how we've been taught that, you know, if God has told you to do something and you've got some resistance, then, you know, maybe you've heard wrong.
Well, people go into two ditches in this, I've realised. And I've done this myself. Everything we're teaching, basically, we've lived out. So it's not like
we've made all of these mistakes.
That's how we teach, basically. We just teach of our mistakes. So we've been in both of these ditches. You know, what can happen is, as Christians, you can make a decision for God. So whatever that is, we're going to move to, one of the big decisions we made, we're going to move and move to Bible school and actually go to Bible school back in 2006. Mm-hmm. And we could say, okay, we're thinking about moving to Bible school. If all the circumstances work out and everything works out and our house sold and we got a new house for rent and we got a job and everything worked out, and it must be the Lord, everything's working out. But yet, if everything went wrong and it was difficult, we couldn't find housing, we couldn't sell our house, everything went wrong, we could say, must be the Lord, the devil's trying to stop us.
It's down to interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah, it can't be right. All these circumstances against us, we must have missed God, this can't be God. Or all the circumstances are good, so it must be God. Mm-hmm. Either way, do you see how we can use circumstances to argue our case both ways? That's why we can't put weight on circumstances.
We can't put faith in the circumstances.
Amen, we really can't. Paul puts it this way, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, I love how he puts it. This is in Acts 20, verse 24. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul's talking about circumstances. And Paul had some terrible circumstances. He was imprisoned and chained and beaten and left for dead and beaten with rods and all these, spent the day and the night in the open sea and was hungry and naked and all these different things Paul goes into. And he calls those light afflictions, by the way. So they were light afflictions. So
I'd hate to see what a bad day was.
I was going to say, sometimes we have to put our afflictions into perspective. I've got a pastor friend and he says that sometimes people come to him for pastoral counselling and they tell him their problems and they're crying and they're belly aching, they say all these things are wrong, and when he hears what they're upset about, it's like he's all but has to stop himself laughing because he feels like saying to them, well, if they were my problems, I'd be rejoicing.
But it's all about perspective.
It is perspective. So Paul, what I'm saying is Paul went through a lot of bad circumstances. He had a lot of bad things come against him. Mm-hmm. And this is what he puts in Acts 20, 24. I love this verse, Acts 20, 24. He says, but none of these circumstances move me. He said, none of them moved me. So he wasn't letting any of those circumstances speak to him. None of those things moved me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I might finish my race with joy. Paul was about following Jesus. He was about being a minister of the gospel. And when circumstances come against him, he didn't let them move him.
He wasn't going to be taken off course.
So don't let circumstances take you off course. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things happen. Yes, circumstances, we can let circumstances speak to us, but they're not a reliable voice. Because they could be the enemy trying to stop us, they could be the devil trying to stop us and get us off track and distract us, or it could be the Lord encouraging us. God only uses good circumstances; He never gives us bad circumstances.
How can we tell?
What's what?
How can we tell in the middle of these circumstances which ones are from God and which ones are from the enemy?
Well, one of the easy ways to tell is God never puts bad things. He never does bad things. He's a good God. He's God, good by nature. God's very nature is good, so He doesn't do bad things. So if it's a bad circumstance, it's from the enemy. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean you should let that distract you. Like Paul said, I don't let these things move me. So if God tells you, go to the other side, that's a word from God, and you go to the other side and halfway there's a storm and you feel like you're going to die and you're not going to make it, you don't let that storm move you. You say, no, I'm going to the other side. Mm-hmm. See, what the enemy will do, he will bring us challenges to try and stop us. What the enemy does, he comes along and says, you can't do what God's told you to do. Mm-hmm. You can't, and it could be a simple promise from God. God's told you you are healed. God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. And Jesus paid for your healing, so it could be healing. You are healed in Jesus' name. And if you have symptoms in your body, you feel pain, and the doctor says this, you've got this disease, that's the devil coming against you, saying you're not the healed of the Lord. You're gonna die. This isn't gonna work out. See, in John 10:10, it says, the enemy comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Whereas God, He comes to give us life and life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. So Jesus came to give us abundant life, and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if the circumstance is going to kill, steal, and destroy...
That's a good way to measure something, isn't it?
Exactly. If the circumstance comes to kill, steal, and destroy, it's from the enemy. Mm. And what the enemy will do is say, you can't do this, this is going to work out, and that's when you have to use your authority, and that's when you have to stick with the Word of God. Say, no, God's told me I can do it. God's told me I am going to the other side. I don't know how it's going to work out, but God's told me I can. And you don't let these circumstances move you. You have to push through the circumstances. And most of the time, when you're doing anything for God, there's going to be challenges. Right. Things are going to come against
you. There's going to be some opposition there.
If you haven't had any opposition for a while, it's because you're not believing God hard enough. I mean, it's like what they say, if you're not bumping into the devil now and again, it's probably because you're both heading in the same direction.
Right.
If you're swimming upstream, you're going to find some opposition on the way. So it's okay to have opposition. It usually shows you're on the right track. But don't let that opposition move you.
And I think, when... hindsight's a wonderful thing, right? So if we, you know, interviewed the disciples now and like, let's talk about that experience of when you were crossing the lake there, and what did it feel like
when
you were in
Peter,
the middle of the storm?
Never doubted.
I was about to get out and walk on the water, you know, because you can look back and you look back at things and in hindsight through a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fine when you look back because you know you've come, you know the end of the story.
Right.
But when you're in the middle of the storm, you know, sometimes I think it's just much easier to find yourself in that place of being double-minded.
Right.
And I think it's really important. Oftentimes I'll meet people that just feel stuck. They feel completely stuck where they are. Maybe they're not getting any traction. Maybe they feel like they're doing what God's told them to do, but, you know, nothing seems to be working out. They're not getting anywhere. There's no doors of opportunity opening to them. They just can't seem to get a breakthrough. There's a lack. You know, things just aren't working out. Mm-hmm. One thing I've realized just through our own mistakes and shipwrecks mm-hmm. in life is to go back to the last thing that God told you to do. What was the last thing? What was the last direction? You see, in that example, if the disciples had brought to mind, while the boat is filling with water, the last instruction that Jesus gave them, mm-hmm. that was to go to the other side, that would have waylaid their fear of the intensity of the storm, because they would have known, hang on, we've already got a word from God, and in every word from God is every bit of power that we're ever going to need to fulfill it.
Amen.
That's how powerful a word of God. That is why we want to hear from God. Mm-hmm. We want to hear the word of God spoken to us clearly, because that is the word of God. That is like our anchor in the storm, mm-hmm. right? That is the thing that we're going to come back to. When there were giants in the land and the children of Israel went in and they saw the giants, you know, Joshua and Caleb, when they saw the same giants as the spies, mm-hmm. they had a different perspective and they felt like they were well able to overcome those giants because they remembered, this is our land. Hang right. a second. This is the land that God gave us.
They had a word from God.
They had a
promise from God. This is your land. This is your promised land. So even though there was opposition, the circumstances were against them. There was giants. They were like, no, mm-hmm. this is our land. So these giants are either going to have to run away, or we're going to defeat them, or something's going to happen. But this is our land.
And that, you know, that gives you confidence and faith and boldness, yeah. right? And rather than being afraid of the storm, you know, the disciples could have gotten up and done exactly what Jesus did.
Yeah.
They could have stood up. That's why he said to them, where's your faith, right? Why are you so fearful? I've already told you to go to the other side. Do you really think you're going to sink
right.
with me in the boat,
right.
with me on board? I mean, we're going in and we're seeing some giants. Do you really think that these giants are any match for us? No, we are well able to overcome them.
Right.
That word gives us boldness and confidence to speak to the storm, to run up the giants and cut their heads off.
Amen.
That's
it's
powerful.
Really good. It's good. So we can't let circumstances move us one way or the other. And sometimes circumstances happen just because of our stupidity.
Right.
There's no other way of putting it. I mean, and sometimes we look into things, like I said, we go off into a ditch because we're looking at the circumstances and thinking God's trying to speak to us through the circumstances. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? Sometimes I remember one time I was a youth pastor, didn't earn much money, and I just had to run into the bank real quick. So I pulled up onto the no parking zone. You know, in England, it's double yellow lines, the no parking zone. I thought, it's going to be like 2 minutes, it'll be fine. I pulled up, I looked up and down the street, no traffic wardens, you know, no traffic cops anywhere. So I ran into the bank, ran out again. I must have been like 1 minute.
Oh, so it would have been okay to park there had there, you know, not been any traffic cops?
Well, sin is not imputed where the law is, where the law is not enforced.
So you justified your wrong actions then,
okay.
because there was no one watching.
Okay, that's actually pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll edit this out of the show. But anyway, so don't do this at home. But anyway, I decided, you know what, I'm going to park it, run in quick. I ran in quick, come out, parking ticket, like $50, which is a big deal as a youth pastor. That was a lot of money.
That was like all the money in the world.
2 days later, I kid you not, 2 days later, I had to run into the store, get something real quick. No parking zone, be real quick. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I got a parking ticket like 2 days ago. There's no way I'm going to get another one now. There must be like a mercy
because
law.
Because it's just down to
there must be a mercy
luck
law.
Or
in
something.
Fact, my friend used to leave a parking ticket. In England, they stick the parking tickets on your windshield. I don't know if they do that here in America. But he used to leave the parking ticket stuck in his windshield so that if he was parking illegally, the traffic warden would think, oh, he's already got a ticket. To leave it. And then actually,
you're a repeat offender, aren't
he
you?
He also had, this wasn't me, I mean, this is genuinely my friend, he also had a lifeguard on duty sign he used to put up. So he used to put up a lifeguard on duty in parking.
It's like
anywhere.
Doctor on call.
But he came unstuck one day because he had a lifeguard on duty and a handicapped, you know, disabled
the
still.
Handicapped lifeguard.
So the traffic cop waited for him when he came back. He said, which one are you? Are you a lifeguard or are you disabled?
Depends on the day of the week, I guess.
Anyway, I say all this to say, I came back out the store, I was like 30 seconds. And I'm telling you, I looked up and down, there was no traffic cops. 30 seconds, come back, there's another ticket. I had two tickets, $100. It was a bad day for me.
You did
I was a poor youth
twice.
Pastor. And I prayed, I really did. I got into my prayer closet. I said, Lord, what does this mean? Does this mean I'm not meant to be a youth pastor? Does this mean you're moving me on? Does this mean, what does this mean? I mean, I was really searching for answers.
You were really travailing.
I was travailing because I thought, surely the Lord is speaking to me through these circumstances, because that's how I used to think back then. I said, Lord, what does this mean? I'm telling you.
And what did he say?
The Lord spoke to me clearly. I mean, a clear word from God. He said, the reason why you have two parking tickets in 2 days. I was like, yes, Lord, I'm listening. What is it? I'm expecting some revelation. Uh-huh. He says, because you illegally parked twice in 2 days. And I was like, and Lord?
That's deep.
That was it?
That was it.
He said, your own stupidity. You parked wrong twice, you get two tickets. Simple as that. There was no more to it. So a lot of the time, our circumstances...
Don't overlook it.
Don't overthink things. Yeah, don't try and make more out of something than it is. Circumstances can't be relied on. They can't be trusted. Most of the time, if bad circumstances are coming towards you, it's because you're doing the right thing. You're actually pushing into the things of God, and the enemy's trying to stop you. And don't be moved. Like Paul said in Acts 20, don't let these circumstances move you. Don't let them speak to you. Don't give them voice. You know, use your authority, come against them, and declare the word of God. Declare the last thing that God told you to do, like Carly said. You're going to the other side.
Amen.
And I know there's people watching today. You know, you're in a storm. You feel like the circumstances all around you. Could be relationships, could be financial, could be in your health, could be in your career. Whatever it is, you have a storm going on around you. Mm-hmm. And it's like you can't hear God's voice clearly. Just go back and remember what God spoke to you last. What did God promise you last? Where did God tell you he was going last? Yeah. You was going last. Cling on, hang on to that word like an anchor, and the storm will pass. You know, storms came to pass, and it's going to pass. This storm is going to pass, and you're going to come out the other side, and you're going to be victorious. As long as you don't quit, you're going to be victorious.
Right.
So whatever storm you're experiencing today, hang on. And you know, remember what God spoke to you last time, and go and just hang on, because you're going to the other side. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to the other side.
You know, sometimes when we look back to the last thing that God told us when we're in the middle of that crisis moment, we realize, I haven't actually done the last thing He told me to do.
That's a good point.
And you know, you read this scripture, I think this time or maybe last episode, where John 10:27 said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Mm-hmm. You see, it's not just about hearing God. There's a place of obedience in there too.
Yeah.
And so we need to, we're in relationship with the Lord, and He knows us, and there's an intimacy there, and we hear His voice, but we need to be able to follow Him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a parent giving a child a direction, right? You know, we're raising teenagers, so pray for us, right?
But when it's easier to raise the dead than to raise teenagers.
But teaching a teenager to drive does wonders for your prayer life. It really does. It's like rapture now. I mean,
I couldn't take
seriously.
I had to sit in the back. We was coming back from a road trip somewhere, and our middle son had his permit and he started to drive, and I just stopped the car. I had to sit in the back, and Carly had to sit up front of him because I couldn't handle it. But yeah, I was praying in tongues. I tell you, you can really get serious about your prayer life if you have a 16-year-old driving your car.
But you know, it's in those times of instructing somebody to drive, they're in control of a potential weapon right there. And it's really important that they listen carefully to that instruction and aren't just hearing it, but are actually doing something with the information, are actually responding to the information, the instruction that you're giving them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they could potentially cause an accident and have horrible circumstances. You know, we're driving along with our kids in the car and we're telling them, you need to stop at the stop sign. Now, if they carry on driving through that stop sign, somebody could be coming the other way. There could be a collision. Now, if there's a collision, ultimately, it's going to be like, well, why didn't you stop? Well, because did you hear me tell you to stop? Yeah, but you didn't stop.
Actually, took me a while to realize
that
stop signs.
Because Ashley thinks stop signs really are just roll through. So as long as you slow down and go really slowly.
I want to correct this before people write us and get mad at us, okay? We're from England. We moved here 10 years ago.
It's not an excuse for
bad
driving.
We don't have stop signs in England. We have things called give ways. They're like your yield signs. They give ways. No stop signs. Instead of four-way stops, we have roundabouts. And people just merge in there. So when I came to a four-way stop, it was in a quiet neighbourhood. I could see for miles around. There was no other cars. I was going downhill, big, heavy suburban. I looked around. There was nothing coming. So I slowed down, very much so. And as I slowed down, I then looked. It was very safe. And I rolled through because I honestly thought that a stop sign was like a roll-through.
Like and a man actually shook his walking stick at Ashley.
And this old man...
You hooligan!
This old man took his time to lift up his walking stick and wave it at me and said,
I was like, praise the Lord, he's healed!
So I... So I stopped and wound the window down. I said, yes, sir. He said, it's a stop sign, not a roll through, you idiot. He's going, and this was my second day in America. He said, you idiot. He said, you've got to stop. So I said to him, and I was genuine. I said, you've actually got to stop at a stop sign? He said, yeah, you've got to stop at a stop sign. So anyway, now I know. Now I do stop at stop signs because that's the law. But what you're saying is that if you don't listen to instruction, and you know, often God will tell us to do something and we don't do it and we're waiting for steps 2, 3, and 4 and we haven't done step one.
Why would God give us? We're out there running ahead, wondering why God's not following.
Trying to make it happen ourselves, doing an Isaac and doing an Abraham and creating an Ishmael instead of an Isaac. You know, God tells us to do things. We're meant to follow his instructions. Mm-hmm. And then once we follow step one, he's going to give us step two. He's not going to give us step 2, 3, and 4 until we've done step one. Mm-hmm. For various reasons. One of the reasons is if he told us the future too much ahead, we'd mess it up. We'd make it happen ourselves.
Right.
But he gives us a step at a time. He's a gracious God. He'll tell us to do one step at a time. And as we do that and follow that, he'll give us the next part of the instructions, praise God. And he only leads us into victory. He only leads us into triumph. He only has good things for us. You know, and Jeremiah talks about, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you an expected end.
Yeah.
God has good things for us, and he's trying to lead us into his goodness. He's trying to speak to us. In fact, like Carly said, he's always speaking to us. The question is, can we hear him or not? And we've already looked at God speaking to us through his word. Mm-hmm. We've already looked at God speaking to us through an audible voice. We've looked at God speaking to us through people. We're looking now at God speaking to us through circumstances. We can't trust circumstances. We shouldn't let them move us, like Paul said. And another example I've got here is the example of Gideon. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of Christians say, well, I'm just going to lay a fleece out for the Lord. And God's so gracious, sometimes he meets us there.
I've done a Gideon before.
You've done fleeces, mm-hmm. haven't you? Lay a fleece out. And sometimes God meets us there because he's so gracious. But I'm telling you, that's not a reliable way of hearing from God. People say, well, I'm going to lay a fleece out.
Not as a New Testament believer.
As a New Testament believer, mm-hmm. we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. We have the complete Word of God from index to maps, you know, from Genesis yeah. to Revelation. We have the complete Word of God. We don't need to lay fleeces out. Gideon didn't have those tools. Gideon didn't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him.
Right.
He didn't have Christ in him, the hope and glory. He didn't have the complete Word of God. So he had to lay a fleece out, and God yeah. worked with Gideon.
And
with
in the Old Testament, God related to people in very physical ways. The pillar of fire, mm-hmm. the pillar of cloud, you know, the yep. burning bush.
Yep.
He spoke to people in a different way. Because they didn't have the Holy Spirit, he couldn't speak to them in a still small voice or through the completed scriptures.
So I wouldn't recommend laying a fleece out. And what I mean by that is things like, Lord, if it be your will, mm-hmm. you know, send 2 black cats across my path. Or is it be my will? Have so-and-so phone me.
That's putting a whole lot of weight in circumstances.
It really is. It's letting circumstances speak to you. Now, again, God's so gracious. I'm sure people could give us testimonies about how God's spoken to them like that. But that's not God's best for you. And
right.
it's not God's design. It's because God's so gracious. He works with us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help you hear God's voice clearly and reliably mm-hmm. and not miss it so much. We've done all these mistakes we were talking mm-hmm. about. We've done them all multiple times. But we're here to tell you, you know, God's speaking to us. We can hear him clearly. And he's given us the tools to hear him through his word, praise God. And we're going to look at some other ways of how God speaks to us and about how we can hear him more clearly. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're out yeah. of time this time.
Good
but
stuff.
Do you want to pray for the people before
yeah.
we go? Thank you,
yeah.
Jesus.
Lord, I just thank you that it is your desire to be in a relationship with us that is yeah. intimate, that is life-giving. Lord, I thank you that you are interested in our daily life, yeah. in the big things and in the little things. I just hear the Lord saying that some of you have kept the Lord at arm's length, yeah. that you have taken areas of your life captive and you say, it's okay, God, I got this. Well, he wants to have that.
Amen.
He can do a far better job of it than you can do by yourself. He's jealous for you. He's jealous for your time. He's jealous for your attention. His love for you is surpassing what you could even hope or even imagine. So great is his love for you. So, Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We receive it today.
Amen.
And, Lord, we thank you that you are speaking to us all the time and that you are giving us ears to hear what you are saying to us. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, thanks for being with us. We'll be back real soon to give you some more tips on how to hear the voice of God. But until next time, remember, don't just settle for living a normal life when you could be living the abundant life. We'll see you real soon.